I want to share with you a message this morning that is a bit of a burden upon me, because if you've been in this church for any number of years, in the last 2 or 3 years, one of the things I'm seeking to do is to position you for eternity, is to try and convey to you how close the end of the church age is. The rapture is coming, and it's coming soon. Now, we don't put a time on that, whether it's a year or 5 years. I don't know, but I know it's very, very close. And my heart for you is to achieve in this time, in this life, and remember that this life is the preparation for the next life. Do not put this life in a box and say, well, we'll just handle this life and then we'll go on to heaven. God uses this life to train you for eternity. And remember something, that this life is a nothing in comparison to eternity. I use the example of take a teaspoon of water down to the sea and put the teaspoon in there, nothing happens. The water level doesn't rise. That sort of gives you an idea of the difference between eternity and this life. And my heart for you is to be the best you can be for God. And going into eternity to serve God in the... I don't know what heaven looks like. I haven't been there. The scripture doesn't detail a lot about heaven, except that we know that the Lord's there. We know that that's not the final place, that the New Jerusalem comes back to the earth, a huge thing that comes down to earth, a remade earth. And so our future is not so much in heaven. That's where we go if we die now, but we're going to come back to this earth. And God remakes most beautifully a lot of things. But that's my heart for you guys, and I'm just trying to bring you perspective. And so this morning I want to talk to you about something that relates to how you can go forward in God in this life. And I'm going to talk about the power and the purpose of the Holy Spirit in your life. We understand the concept of God. Jesus said, this is how you are to pray: our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we look to God in prayer, and often we pray, Father God, we pray, da-da-da-da, in Jesus' name. And so we recognize God the Father. We know who he is, why he is. We have God the Son, who came as our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the earth. And then Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. And we often put the Holy Spirit in a little bit of a side section. If I ask you this question, how many of you have prayed to the Holy Spirit in the last week or in the last month or the last year? And I would imagine not many hands would arise, because we say, well, we pray to God the Father, we pray to the Son, we don't pray to the Holy Spirit. But I want to show you something about the Holy Spirit, why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and why we need him in our lives. Because when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we're often a little bit confused about his role and what he does and what he does in our lives. And we're unsure of that. But Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit and why he would send the Holy Spirit to us. So in John chapter 14 and verse 15, it'll be on the screen there, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, and the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Then John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. See, Jesus made a very, very specific statement a number of times about Holy Spirit. In verse John 14, 15 to 18, which I read, what does it say? Let me come back to John 14, verse 7. And it says, I need to change my place. Just hold with me for a moment. In John 20, verse 22, Jesus came to the disciples. And the scripture says there in John 14, he breathed upon them, John 20:22. And when he said this, he breathed on him and said to receive the Holy Spirit. Now that was their point of salvation. Up until then, certainly they'd been following Jesus, but Jesus hadn't died on the cross. He hadn't risen from the dead. But when he comes back after ascending to the Father, he comes to the disciples and he breathes on them. Now, I'm trying to think, well, how would he do that? Does he go, you know, on them? Does he let out an almighty breath, a powerful breath that just flows over them? I don't know what it is. But whatever he did, it said he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. So that was their point of salvation. Now, here's the key. When we are born again, the Holy Spirit, like Jesus breathed on the disciples, the breath of God comes into us, because the Holy Spirit, is the word pneuma, means breath, comes and lives within us when we're born again. So in fact, the Holy Spirit is resident in you. He's not somewhere far away. He is right here. God had a purpose in that he wants to do something in our lives through the Holy Spirit, and we need to keep an open heart to know what it is. Jesus said he would dwell with you and be in you. And so what does he do for us? He not only lives with us, but he is actually in us. So we read in John chapter 14, verses 17 and 18, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells you. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So there's the first thing. You have to know the Holy Spirit. You have to realize why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and that he lives in us. The scripture in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? He used the word temple of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Jews were used to God being present in the temple. And when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place was torn in half. The Spirit of God left. He's no longer in that temple. Now he comes into the temple, which is you and I. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's definitely within us and working within us. It was said of Jesus in Scripture that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt within him. And what I want to try and urge you to understand is that the God lives in you. It's not just that the Holy Spirit is there. If we sit the Holy Spirit in there, Jesus is out there, God is out there somewhere, we're dividing up God. You can't do that. They are one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit living in us means God's with us. And you've got to understand something, is that there is what we call connection. One of the fantastic things, we have connection with God because the Spirit of God's in us. And so we are imbued with God. But I heard someone say they went to heaven, and one of the things that they saw that really impressed them, they said, you cannot imagine the connection. In other words, between people who are in heaven and of course with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And that's what God's about, connection. And he wants us connected with him and us to realize that the Spirit in us brings that connection with God, and we relate in that, and we live in that, and we walk in that. See, I'm delighted to be married, and this year's 50 years. And there's a connection, because the Bible says that we shall be one flesh. A man and a woman shall be one flesh when they get married. And so we're one flesh, but that's in the soul. There's a tie in our soul, but not in our spirit, but our spirit is tied to God. That's the separate thing. And so we are connected. So we have a taste of heaven now because we're connected to God. But when we go to heaven, the connection will be unhindered. You heard of the great outage over the last few days with computers playing up all around the world and all sorts of things. Apple users laugh, of course, because there's no problems with Apple products, but there is problems with Microsoft. Well, most of us use Microsoft, so it was a problem. The point is, we lost connection, and how damaging that was. I mean, pretty much now we can be connected anywhere in the world. I've been in the jungles of Borneo, video talking to people in different parts of the world where there was a rugged place, it was a primitive place, and yet I could be connected. But how great if there's a spiritual connection in God. And we are spiritual people with a soul and with a body. Don't put your body in front of your soul, and don't put your soul in front of your spirit. Get it in right order. That's what God wants. Okay, so we have to realize that true God dwells in us, an expression of God, though it's three part, is one God. The second thing is, in John 15, 26, he will testify of me. Testify about Jesus. This is to reveal Jesus to us in all his wonder and glory. We get a taste of that in worship. When we're singing, I love you, Lord, there's something happening there in the spiritual realm with us. But there should be greater, because the Holy Spirit is testifying of Jesus to us that we might know him. One of my prayers for this church is let Holy Spirit reveal Jesus to people. A moment in Jesus' presence and you're forever transformed, because he is so great and he is so mighty and he's so wonderful. And if he stood up here, he suddenly appeared on this stage, we'd all be flat on our face, I'm sure of it, with the awe and wonder of our mighty Saviour. So the Holy Spirit is doing that. He's revealing Jesus to us. And when he reveals Jesus to us, we then can go and reveal him to other people who don't know Jesus, because we're burning with something within our hearts. The third thing is John 16, verse 7 says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, and if I don't go away, the Helper will not come, but if I depart, I will send him to you. I go, he comes. The Helper. What does the Helper mean? The word is paraclete in the Greek, which in which the Bible, New Testament has been written. It means mentor, instructor, comforter, leader, empowerer. Jesus has provided for us something powerful. We sang a song that's actually scripturally incorrect this morning. Jesus, holy and anointed one. He certainly is holy, but he's no more anointed. He doesn't need to be anointed. It'd be like saying, Holy Spirit, anoint God the Son and anoint God the Father. It doesn't work that way. When he walked the earth, he was anointed. He had to be by the Holy Spirit. But he's not in that sense anointed now, because Father, Son and Spirit are linked together as one God. But we enjoy the anointing. We enjoy the empowerment. We enjoy being led by the Spirit. The word helper, you tend to think, oh, well, the Holy Spirit's my servant. I just have to ask him and he does things for me. But it's much more powerful than that. He's God. And we need to put him in the right place. And when we only see him as helper, we miss out on what he fully is to us. And I want to say to you, what you acknowledge and embrace is what you will receive in the Holy Ghost. If you only see him as the helper, that's all you'll ever get. But the Holy Spirit's more than that. If you only see him as the one who gives us tongues, that's all you'll get. There's more, much, much more to be appreciated in the relationship with the Holy Spirit. The fourth thing, John 16, verse 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. We live in a world full of lies. I mean, I'm sure we could discuss that and you'd believe it. We hear people on TV. I mean, advertising is built on lies, isn't it? But we have a filter that says, oh, well, you know, that we just let that go and we move on from that. Yes, that is the greatest car in the world that they're advertising out there. Well, that's a lie. And let's call it for what it is. It's a lie. Some of the words that they use, people get up and they say, that man is a legend. Just because he scored a try? I don't think so. That's a lie. So we need the filter of truth in the Holy Ghost to know, to discern lie from reality. Otherwise, we will get caught in lies. And that's not what God wants for us. So we become deceived when we believe a lie. And in deception, the enemy's greatest weapon, he creates doubt. And doubt brings confusion, and confusion brings indecision, or we make a decision that's not based in truth. And so we need the Holy Spirit to lead us into the realms of truth. And I want to say this morning, we're not just talking about spiritual truth, it's all truth. Truth about the realms of the kingdom, but truth about life in general. And so we should allow the Holy Spirit to tell us when somebody's talking to us, and the Holy Spirit can, and we're sensitive enough to receive it, who can say, that's a lie. Don't believe that. Don't receive that. You see, the great liar is Satan. And he comes to us and tells us lies. Is this what he did to Adam and Eve? Well, he tells half-truths or half-lies. He sowed a seed of doubt in Eve's mind and then he told a lie. He said, well, had God said that? In the doubt, she made a decision that, of course, brought sin into the world. And we've walked in that ever since. But we need the truth to be let out. What if Eve had said to Adam, hey, that snake's been talking to me again. And this is what he said. And Adam said, well, I'm not sure about that. We need to check it with God. He would have got the truth and said to the snake, out of here. We don't want to listen to you. You're a liar. Number five, John 16, 14. Jesus said, he'd take mine and declare it to you and thus glorify me. Glory rubs off. Moses got into God's presence and came down from the mountain and the people couldn't look at him because of the glory of God on his face. So he had to wear a bag over his head, literally, to hide the glory so that people wouldn't feel the fear and get out there. Listen, in the glory of God, there is fear. I remember the book of Revelation, John the Divine on the Isle of Patmos. When Jesus appeared to him, he said, I fell at his feet as one dead. The fear, a holy fear. And that's where we need to be understanding that we will receive the glory, but it comes out of a relationship where we do have a fear of God. There is a good fear. I have a fear of putting my hand in the flame. That doesn't torment me. It's just that I learnt that as a child, as most children do. Touch something hot, they let it go quick. You know, to be careful. So let the glory of God touch you through the Holy Spirit so that the glory that's on you will touch other people, not only Christian, but non-Christian. And then John 16 verse 8 says, the Holy Spirit will convict of sin. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And we often use that in the thought that, well, okay, the Holy Spirit's going to judge all the unrighteous and so they'll get saved. But think about this. The Holy Spirit also works in you to bring you not only to truth, but to bring you conviction of sin so that you will do something about it and get it right with God. I wonder, when we talk about conscience in humanity, I wonder if that's really the Holy Spirit working in every person born, just bringing them a sense of what's right and what's wrong, and then they make their choice according to their, you know, their conscience, if they've seared it with a hot iron and it's ineffective, or whether they're really open to changing. So we know there's people in the world that their conscience is right and what they do. Number seven, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit holds up a mirror. And in the mirror is Jesus. So I guess it's more than a mirror. But that's what he's wanting to transform us to. From what we are to what we need to be. I will never be as good as Jesus. I will never have the character of Jesus, nor will you. But I am being transformed. I am changing. And when I look in the mirror, I say, I want to become like that. I want to change to be like that. And so that's talking about character. And let me tell you something about character. That is what's developed within our soul. And our character is what we take to heaven. You don't get to heaven and suddenly your character goes from a level of about 30 to 100. What you take is what you arrive with. Now, I know there's changes there. I know God does things. I know there's no temptation to sin and all that kind of stuff in heaven. But your character is what you take. That's why the Holy Spirit is working on your character to convert you. To be like Jesus, to have the right kind of character that honours God, that speaks for God in this world that we live in. Then number eight, Jude 1 verse 20 says, but you beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. People think that once they've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they've arrived. That's it. I now speak in tongues, and then they don't speak in tongues again. Maybe a few words here and there. But God intended it for us to speak in tongues. Several reasons. One is because often the things we say shouldn't be heard anyway, should keep our mouths closed. But if we speak in tongues, the Bible says we're praying unto God in a heavenly language. But it also builds us up. But the thought there is, like, if you go to the gym and do your lifting, you're building yourself up. But the thought of building up here is the Holy Spirit building our spirit up. Our spirit increases in strength and in an ability to know and to walk in the things of God. So my urging to you is speak in tongues. When you pray, take a time of speaking in tongues. When you're driving, maybe, speak in tongues. When some idiot cuts you off on the road, instead of expressing a blessing on his life, just speak in tongues. It'll do you good. Why? Because you become empowered by the Holy Ghost. And then number 9, Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth." What about power? God intends for us to walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He intends for us to be people of power. And this word power is not just power. It means to really move in a miraculous power and an outworking of miracles, a demonstration of violence against the kingdom of darkness, a supernatural ability and wonderful works. That's really what the word power there means. And so when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, we recognize it, we embrace it, and then the power of God comes on our life and we go forth doing the works of God. And I am a believer that this stage of the church, which we are getting close to the end times, needs a great demonstration of the power of God. And that makes you a candidate, that you can be wherever you are, you can work the works of God, whether it's in a workplace, a childcare centre, a school, a neighbourhood, you can work the works of God and see the empowerment come on your life that the Holy Spirit intends. This wasn't just for the disciples. This was for everybody. That's you. That's me. Because God's got great plans and he invites us to be a part of that. And then number 10, the last one, 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14. Paul says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." That word communion means partnership and communication. And so we pray to the Father, the Lord's Prayer. We pray to Jesus because we can. But what about the Holy Spirit? Is it sacrilege to talk to the Holy Spirit or pray to him? Should we listen to him? I say yes. We should ask questions of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I say, "Holy Spirit, what does this mean? What are you trying to tell me?" Sometimes it's just practical questions. "Holy Spirit, I'm struggling to do this or find that." And the Holy Spirit will give me a thought on that. It's not that he's my servant. It's just that there's an open relationship that's occurring there. And I want that for you, that you will walk in that. So I'm going to give you an action plan. Firstly, determine to relate to the Holy Spirit in communion. That means communication. And I'm encouraging you today, even this day, talk to the Holy Spirit. When I pray, I say, "Holy Spirit, thank you for dwelling within me." And I usually then apologize for all the nonsense that I've exposed the Holy Spirit to in my life. Maybe words, maybe whatever else, deeds. Say, "Sorry, forgive me for that. I want to be integrous before you. But I want to relate to the Holy Spirit." We need to hear the Holy Spirit. We want him. We value him. He's not some just a fanciful puff of smoke that's floating out there. He's a real part of the Godhead, and he brings that communication of the Godhead into our lives. The second thing is speak in tongues. God gave it to us for a very good reason. It was very divisive in the church over the years. In this particular city, the person who brought the baptism of the Holy Spirit to Mackay was the one who started this church. And that was not well received. Firstly, she was a woman. that was not well received because only men could be in ministry. And then she was bringing a message that wasn't popular, a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so they used to say, it's the devil speaking through them in that. And so there was a lot of early abuse and rejection of that. Thank God times have changed. But trouble is, we've become acceptable. Maybe that's not such a good thing. Maybe there should be an offence occurred, not because we go out to offend, but because we're so on fire with God that it creates something in other people that they get offended. Let us not settle for second best. Let us not settle to just be accepted as one of the churches in town. We want to be more than that. We want to be a Holy Ghost church. This is a Pentecostal church. That simply means it's a Holy Spirit church and we live in Him and for Him. So speak in tongues. Third thing is put the filters on. That is, gives us a sense to know truth from lie. In other words, put the Holy Spirit filter on or the Holy Spirit glasses or whatever it takes so that you know the truth. And then number four, God has a purpose for you. And I'm going to ask you, would you take the power that the Holy Spirit brings and activate it for the kingdom of God? I challenge you, will you ask, what is God's assignment for your life? What has He got for you to do? It may not seem great, but this is the thing. Once we start doing things, it expands. God says, faithful in a little, faithful in much. We want to step out and do the big things. I want to go and lay hands on somebody. I want to go and lay hands on a dead body and see it rise. But God says, will you just simply do that, this little thing over here? And we sort of push that aside. So, well, that's a nothing. That's not really a demonstration of God or the Holy Spirit. Be faithful. Listen to the assignment. Open your hearts, open your ears. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me that I can move out into to bring God glory and honour so that your life can be expressed in people? I've said to you about the church. It was birthed at Pentecost in power. I don't think this church, I don't just mean this church, I mean the church in general, is leaving quietly. I think we're going out with a roar. I think we're going out in the glory of God. I think we're going out in the demonstration of the life and power of God. If that doesn't happen, well, that's God's, you know, God can do what God wants to do. I'm here to serve Him, not the other way around. But I just feel in my heart, the church in general is going out in a great measure and a great demonstration. And when the church goes, it leaves a huge hole in this world. Thank God we can be a part of what He wants us to do. But my challenge to you is, will you believe? Will you take the challenge up? Believe. Activate your life for Him. Be determined. I'm serving You, God. I want to know You in a greater measure. Spend the time and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Send me. I'm available. I ain't much, but I give it to You. And let God work in you what He wants to bring, that you might walk forward in Him. Amen. 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 Let me pray with you this morning. Dear God, I thank You, God, that You are expressed in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we speak this morning to the Holy Spirit. Say, we say, Holy Spirit, we honour You in our lives. We welcome You. We thank You that You are doing mighty things, that You are the Lord of the harvest, that we can be labourers and partners in this mighty act that You're performing upon this earth. I pray that You rise up in this church in Holy Ghost fire, just on the day of Pentecost, when they saw the tongues of fire sitting upon each one. May there be fire back in the church, fire in the hearts of people, fire in the lives of people. Lord, I pray that the fire of God will burn brightly throughout this world and we'll see almighty things happen. Holy Spirit, we yield ourselves to You. We thank You for Your divine presence, for the empowering, for the opening of the truth of Jesus Christ, the revelation of life that He brings. and that our lives can be lived before you, anointed and dedicated and empowered to do the things that you have purposed for our lives to do. And so we just come before you, Holy Spirit, and say, welcome. Be upon us. Let your agenda be expressed in us. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.